Save big money on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine interior paint and primer in one is Dutch Boy's best hiding and most durable paint. It delivers a smooth, elegant finish while providing maximum scuff, stain, and mark resistance. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and get your painting project started today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Hey, The Bird Show.
Celebrities, they're just like us. They have complicated families and dark hidden secrets. And I have a Hollywood story so wild, so twisted, so expertly covered up that it makes Scientology look like a Pinterest board. It's all about actor Clark Gable, the Hollywood icon, the human jawline, the emotional liability in a three-piece suit, who had a secret love child with Loretta Young in the 1930s. And when I say secret, I mean career-ending. You're about to get blacklisted, kind of secret.
Hear ye, come forth, all Instagram baddies and crypto bros, for the most salacious gossip in the whole village.
Abby's done the work to bring you
ye old gossip.
So allow me to set the scene for you. It's almost 100 years ago. It is 1935, and Clark and Loretta Young are filming Call of the Wild together. Clark Gable, he's married, but he's doing that thing where he smolders with both eyes and women's legs just fly open. Now, Loretta, she is a devout Catholic. Like, she could guilt a priest into repenting, but somehow she ends up pregnant. In 1930s Hollywood, that's less of a life event and more of a public relations disaster, not just because Clark Gable was cheating on his wife, but because a child out of wedlock was the social equivalent to advertising your OnlyFans and a church bulletin. Obviously, abortion back in those days wasn't really an option. It was illegal, unsafe, and also, again, Loretta, devoutly Catholic. She believed in God, the studio system, and not letting a little thing like biology ruin her ratings. So she pulls the most elegant disappearing act in Hollywood history. She, quote unquote, goes on vacation, which is the official 1930s euphemism for, I'll be gone until I'm no longer visibly compromised. So she gives birth in secret. She hides the baby in an orphanage for 19 months. Like, it's a screenplay that needs some rewrites. And then this is where it goes from scandal to psychological thriller. She adopts her own daughter back after 19 months.
What?
Yeah.
I see the play that she's doing.
Uh-huh. Loretta Young reintroduced her actual child as her adopted child. Like, oh, look at this sweet little girl who coincidentally has my face and Clark Gable's Dumbo ears. What a miracle. As for why she waited 19 months to adopt her, is probably to make the lack of connection between the two a little bit more plausible and keep any association with that movie at bay. Now, the daughter, her name is Judy Lewis, and she grows up with absolutely no idea. She's just like, wow, how lucky am I that this rich and famous actress just adopted me? That's pretty cool. How lucky am I? Now, no one tells her anything. Meanwhile, people are side-eyeing her at the studio commissary like, why does Loretta Young's adopted daughter look like she could close a deal at MGM? So at one point, a doctor tells Judy, the daughter, that she needs her ears pinned back because they are so clearly Clark Gable's that it's affecting the lie, not her life, the lie. She has to get plastic surgery just to make it look more plausible that she is not the result of Clark Gable and Loretta Young, whatever happened between them.
Wild.
So now let's talk about Clark, because this man fathered her and ghosted so hard that it's honestly kind of impressive. Just never acknowledged her, never spoke to her. Clark Gable, you know, brilliant actor, terrible Wi-Fi signal. So Clark, by definition, was a deadbeat dad, 100%. But it's actually more likely that Loretta probably wanted nothing to do with him because there are some reports from her daughter that cited that their encounter may not have been totally consensual. So Judy eventually pieces itself together because, of course, she does. She looks exactly like the two of them. She's got half the face of a Hollywood legend and all of the trauma of somebody raised inside of a conspiracy. She confronts Loretta, and Loretta gives her the classic gaslight with pearls on routine. She denies everything, looks her dead in the eye, and says, no, darling, of course you're adopted. You must be imagining the genetic evidence literally hanging from your face. Loretta doesn't admit the truth until she's dead. She left it in a memoir, like, dear daughter, sorry for the 40-year lie. My bad. Also, here's some recipes and my thought on hem links. So it's pretty incredible. Judy Lewis lived an entire life, full adult career, kids, before she got the truth. And meanwhile, she's walking around with ears that practically whistle Gone with the Wind. That's how Hollywood operated. Men did whatever they wanted. Women had to hire nannies, build fake adoption narratives, and create entire origin stories like they're writing the next Batman adaptation. Imagine adopting your own kid just so no one finds out that you had sex one time and that the father was a famous man who couldn't even send a Christmas card, not even a congrats on surviving your own cover-up letter. So the next time you think your family has some weird history, remember somewhere out there a woman birthed a baby, placed her in a foster home, waited 19 months, and then walked in and said, you know what? I feel called to adopt this one. Judy would eventually write a memoir called Uncommon Knowledge, which is polite Catholic speak for everyone lied to me for 31 years. Mm-hmm. Because in Hollywood, the truth isn't just inconvenient. It is a liability with a great jawline. And your biggest role might be playing dumb, even when your face already gave away the plot.
Wild.
That is crazy.
It's insane behavior.
It's like real life, but a movie.
It's literally a movie. They should have starred in it. They could have all played themselves.
Mm-hmm. Wild. Wild.
Hey, The Bird Show.
All right, so Katie is about to go on her very first vacation with her girlfriend. I would like you guys, if you have a second, and give us a call right now, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Let's just freak her out. Let's just freak her out. Everything was going great in your relationship until you went on that first vacation together, and the relationship was never the same again. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Because they say that, like, as soon as you start spending time with each other on a vacation, it brings out the best, it brings out the worst. You find out so much about each other because one generally is a planner, the other one's kind of going with the flow, and it can really drive you crazy to a point where the relationship's not the same anymore. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW.
I'm nervous about this, Bert. Because I'm excited about it. It is going to be our first anniversary trip. It is our first trip that we are taking out of town together. Leading up to this, it's either I've gone to her city or she's come to my city. Mm-hmm. Because it's a long distance relationship. But for us to go out of town for the first time together, I'm actually excited about it. But I did learn along the way that I'm the la-di-di-di-da and she's the no, we're maximizing the most of our time.
You said she had every second of this vacation scheduled in one way, shape, or form until you stepped in.
Yeah. Yeah. She has it down in an Excel spreadsheet. She even asked me, she's like, how well are you with Excel? I was like, no. I'm not great at it.
Now, when we talked about this last time, did you go to her and be like, all right, let's make some compromises here. Let's do a little bit of bargaining. Let's do a little bit of negotiating because this is both of our trip. And, you know, you did some compromising on the location. So you guys are going to Charleston, which is a lovely city, can be very romantic.
Easily escapable if you need to.
Right near the ocean. Just jump in.
So have you hit her back up or are you in it to win it? Are you going to abide by her itinerary and her Excel spreadsheet?
So I've waited and I've planned to have this conversation with her this upcoming weekend.
Oh, you are going to talk to her about it?
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to wait until I see her this weekend. I was like, I'm just going to push this off as long as I can. And then we're going to have this conversation and try to come to a compromise because, like Bert, what you mentioned, possibly doing a draft, yeah, right? Where we both put in what we want to do and pick. One day we do this. One time we do this. And see, so that's what I want to present to her, but I have not presented that to her yet.
How you plan on doing that? How are you going to present it exactly?
Hey, babe. You know, I know that we have these plans going on, but I was thinking, how can we find a happy medium?
Okay.
That's the only start
that's
I have.
Bad. That's a good start.
Yep.
I got one for you based on a dude that I used to work for. That's mm-hmm. the worst I've ever heard. I'll tell you in a second. Hey, Joshua, good morning. Hello.
Good morning. Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
We got you. What's up, man?
Oh, I heard the question wrong. I do apologize. But I do have the same type of issue going on with vacation planning. Me and my spouse of 20 years are heading on a vacation at the end of July.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I'm the planner. She's not putting in any effort towards planning, but when I bring up the itinerary, it's like, Oh, yeah. Okay. Awesome. 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 That's going to be great. And what we'll do is we'll go right here. I got to buy me some glasses. And I'm like, wait, what? You keep saying glasses. What are the sunglasses for? Are those like for your eye candy? So the question pops up here. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is perfect, Bert. This is actually what's going to happen. I'm going down there and she's looking for a hot stud.
Pulled all that in for some shades, huh?
Right. So I'll tell you what has happened to me before. And it is maddening what he first said. Is that when somebody says, hey, you just plan it. You plan it. So you go online. You're the one that picks everything. You're the one that picks the excursions that you're going on and the places you're staying in. And then, like, 2 days before the trip happens, they take a look at the itinerary and they're like, I'm not really into that. And they leave it on your lap. Like, now you're supposed to run around and change the itinerary. Oh, maddening.
I would never do that to my husband. Like, we have our roles in the relationship. And I am the one that plans and organizes the family vacations. And he's the one that just rolls with it. I know if I did that, like, and I don't even complain about it because I enjoy doing it. Like, I love putting a good itinerary together. I love doing the research on which restaurants and, you know, finding stuff for us to do, but not too much to do. And so I would never put that on his plate just because I feel like I would be setting him up to fail.
Like, I wouldn't mind doing the planning as long as there was no complaining.
Yes. It's
like, that should be the rule. If you're not going to plan, you can't complain.
If you're putting that responsibility on me, you got to go with what I have.
100%.
All right. My former boss, Steve Cosma. Everything was going great in his relationship until he and his girlfriend booked a cruise together. Now, there's only one thing worse than when you're going on vacation where you're landlocked. You can always leave. When you're on a cruise and you're on that ship, and you get in a fight with each other, there is nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, unless you jump off of the boat, right?
Those cabins are small.
Some don't have a window.
It's the worst. So they go on vacation totally, completely in love. They're 2 days into this vacation to the Bahamas, I think. And it's so bad. It's so bad. He gets off the ship for an excursion, calls her and says, I'm not getting back on, and then finds a flight from the Bahamas back to Washington, D.C.
That's
what?
He didn't want to see her at all again after that.
What was the fight about?
I have no idea.
That's the tea I want.
Yeah, I know. It's like a true man.
If I remember correctly, and this was a long time ago, I think she was being inappropriate and flirting with some other dude at a bar or something like that. And it was happening time and time again. And he felt like it was just disrespectful. And they were both huge drinkers also.
That'll do it.
He get off that boat and he's like, I cannot. I am going to waste all that cash. I don't care. I never want to see her ever again. And he never did.
Now, she's mentioned a cruise to me about 3 times, and I keep saying no, I am never getting on a cruise, so I'm gonna stay away from that.
Charleston first.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the Bert Show.
Hey, the Bert Show.
I told you guys before that there's about 10 to 12 of us that still keep in contact with each other from middle school through high school through college, and now way past all that, we still keep in touch with each other, right? So I get a text message from one of my friends yesterday, Tina Stoner. Yeah.
That's a great name.
That real is. Last name.
Tina Stoner. She got married. She's not Stoner anymore, but she was going through some boxes or whatever.
Oh, no. She gets married. He has to take her last name.
Oh, that would be. We don't know what his is.
Dan Stoner. Well, now it's Hover. But it was Stoner.
Yeah.
So she hits me with this text and this picture, and she goes, I was going through some boxes. I don't know why I'm keeping all these photos, but I needed to send this one to you. And it's a picture of me and my 7th grade girlfriend. This is the first official girlfriend I ever really had. And me and Debbie Pierce, we were not only with each other for the 7th grade, but 8th grade as well.
Whoa.
Long term.
And then in high school, dabbled in on again, off again relationships into our freshman and sophomore years at San Diego State. Okay? Now, this wasn't like a real steady thing, but she was my first love, man. She was awesome. She was so sweet. Really just the best person, and so could have done better than me. So I'll gather around. I want to show you this at the same time. This is a picture of me and my 7th grade girlfriend back in the day. Okay, you ready?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see 7th grade Bert. He's walking.
Oh, okay. We're going one by one.
You're in 7th grade?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what it's giving.
Kristen's biting her tongue.
Wow.
Are you guys wearing matching rompers?
Wait.
Oh, no. She's beautiful.
She's stunning. How much taller is she than you?
I didn't realize.
She is, 4 inches.
She's significant. And I thought you were sitting down.
Oh.
Hey, no. Now, I think this was before a dance, so she might have had
heels on.
Yeah, because I don't remember being that much taller than me. But
you look like you belong in elementary school.
I was so small, so young.
Yeah.
And she looked like a girl in the 7th or 8th grade should look like. And I was so teeny. I must have been like, in this picture, maybe 4'8".
No.
Less than that, maybe.
Well, I think the problem here is you look so much younger, but I think she actually looks older.
She looks
like she belongs in high school. So
Amanda said the same thing yesterday when she looked at her. She's like, were you dating your teacher?
Yeah.
That's what it's giving.
I thought you were standing with your babysitter.
I will share this on Instagram later at Bert Show Bert. She was so sweet and she was so pretty and I had the hots for her big time.
As you should. She's gorgeous.
And in the 8th grade, I will bring in my yearbook also. We were cutest couple.
Aww. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep. You really do look like you're standing with your babysitter.
You and the babysitter.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Speaking of couples where you're like, why are they together? Let's talk about Timothée Chalamet and Kylie Kardashian because they've been dating for a hot second. Kylie Jenner, duh. Kylie Kardashian, duh. It's all the same. Kylie Jenner, they've been dating for probably like a year. It's been a hot second. And I don't know what it is, but when I see them together, I'm like, what do they talk about? And It's very evident that he has not much to talk about with the other Kardashians because allegedly the Kardashians think that he is avoiding them. Like he is coming to function, staying for like an hour and then getting the heck out of there. And the Kardashians are calling him snobby and antisocial.
So I don't know how much of this is true, but if that is the case, I like him even more. First of all, I love him as an actor. But is there a chance, and I said this about Pete Davidson before also, they dig her, but they just don't want the circus that is the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's going and maybe he's being polite by going to these parties, but he doesn't want to be on camera and he doesn't want the circus, which I think makes him so authentic.
I also feel like him being a full-blown New Yorker like he probably goes into those places and likes it because of what he's accomplished to be there, but I feel like that's not really his speed.
I would say that this is fine if it was, you know, a casual relationship or whatever, but they've been dating for a long time. Kylie is a mother, and the fact that, like, you're coming to the family functions and just totally skirting, even though they're the Kardashians, and I get it, that's not your speed. You're an A-list actor. You're a serious actor, Timothée Chalamet. Like, you're a big deal, but you've got to show some respect to the family because I feel like in a weird way, you're almost disrespecting her.
So if I'm him and I'm just making this scenario up in my head, if you're going to make this work and you really are attracted to each other, there is a very good chance that they have this conversation. Like, look, before we even start something here, I just want to let you, I don't want this circus. I don't want the reality TV show. I don't want the drama, but I do want you. And she goes, that's fine. I want you too. So what's going to work for us? And they agree on this.
Do you guys believe in the statement like you marry me, you marry my family? Or do you believe you're marrying the person and then you get to create the boundaries you want with the family?
That's good.
I hate that it's true, but I do think that it's true.
If you marry me, you marry the family.
I think if a person is close to their family, pretty much.
I mean, you just fought a bull for your lady's family.
Yeah.
Bingo.
I would say that you subscribe to that.
There you go.
I think you kind of have to follow your partner's lead. Because if your partner's not close with their family, then that's weird for you to like interject with them. Like, for example, my brother who just got engaged, like my brother really wanted to be involved with our family outings and stuff. And so therefore, like his now fiance is very involved with our family. So I feel like you just kind of have to follow what they're doing.
I guess it depends on how tight the family is.
Well, the Kardashians and Jenners, they are very tight. And I mean, I know Kylie is really, really close with Khloe. So she's super tight with her family. So for Timothy, it's like, all right, if she's super tight with her family, then when you come in, you have to embrace the family.
I am not giving up the love of my life for a jacked up family. I'll try to make it work.
You will?
With her. Now, I don't know what the scenario could be with who I'm dating, but if she's the one, the family is inconsequential to me.
And I would love to ask this question because I know they are out there. Anybody
anybody whose marriage ended because of the other person's family.
I know
they exist. Like, you all had like the picture perfect relationship, but you were like, no, I have to divorce you because your family sucks so bad.
Mm-hmm. This was an episode of my podcast a couple of weeks ago. I saw this girl on TikTok. There was this trend going around where people were posting videos of themselves in happy moments, and they would caption it with something like, little did they know, dot, 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 something bad that's going to happen. And it was a video of her at her wedding, and she said, little did she know, 9 months later, she would divorce her husband because her family didn't like her. And I'm like, you didn't know this before you got married?
Yeah, right.
And so the whole episode was basically about her being like, yeah, I knew, but I married him anyway. So,
I mean, you have to have some kind of working understanding of what the family dynamics are before you commit for the rest of your life, for sure. But there has to be an agreement between the two of you guys. All right, you're going to show up. That's great. But I'm not going to really engage, because especially when the cameras are on, and she'd have to agree and sign off on that or not.
I had a friend once. It was like a movie who his fiance's dad offered him money to disappear. Just like they do. It was a real life really? Situation, and he didn't do it. He stuck around, and they tried to work through it, but they eventually ended up getting a divorce anyway.
Why can't I date guys like that? I want to be bribed to give up the love of my life. Yeah, I will happily retire. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Hey, the Burt Show.
You don't care about the sports. You don't care about the scores. But can you imagine watching your ex have the best day of her life by getting married to another man? That's what this former football star is gonna do.
Couldn't care less about sports. Balls just ain't your thing. Don't give a f*** about trophies or no Super Bowl ring. You watch reality TV, not Sports Center reports. So Mo's here to give you a reason you should care about sports.
I personally could not do it, but I admire the people who can. This is amazing to me because Jeff Bezos is getting married in Venice, Italy to Lauren Sanchez, which I'm sure there won't be any surprise that this wedding will be star-studded and full of a bunch of amazingness because of all of the money that takes place.
When we're talking about this kind of money, just let me give you an example. So I happen to be staying on the same island as him one time. Certainly not the same place. He had three huge yachts there. And these aren't yachts you'd see in a harbor. These look like cruise ships. Three of them. One for him, another one for his family, and another one for his staff. All of them had helipads on top of them. They were that big. That's wow. How much money we were talking about.
Do you want the list of who is projected to be attending this wedding in Venice before you share the NFLer who is going to be there? So some of the rumored guests: Oprah, Kim Kardashian. She was part of Lauren's bachelorette party. She's expected to be there. Orlando Bloom. He was seen arriving in Venice, though Katy Perry is not there. You can take from that what you will, but they say she has a prior commitment.
Mm-hmm. Divorce.
Yeah. That's the commitment.
The rumor is he got the major ick off of that whole space thing, man.
Really?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Eva Longoria, Kris Jenner, Bill Gates, Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones, Gayle King, Leonardo DiCaprio, Lady Gaga, Elton John, and potentially President Trump. So we'll see.
Damn.
So it's an interesting position to be in, right? Because if you're a man in this position, I kind of was thinking to myself, if I did have to go watch my ex get married for whatever reason, would I rather it be to a guy who clearly has more money than me so that I can enjoy the experience of the wedding myself? Or would I rather see her as a failure from going down for me, which that's the position that Tony Gonzalez is in, former NFL player, Hall of Famer, because he is the ex of Lauren Sanchez, who was getting married to Jeff Bezos, and he is going to the wedding with his current wife.
Have you seen his current wife?
Yes.
She's one of the most beautiful people on the planet.
I'm looking it up.
He don't care at all.
He's doing just fine.
Her name's October, and she's stunning.
Yeah.
And she's also really nice, too.
She's equally nice. She really is.
Wait, yeah. How have you guys met this woman?
I met her at a couple of charity events back in the day.
Because he played football with a good friend of mine, and we all went out to dinner together.
Oh, yeah, he's doing just fine.
He ain't broke. And apparently this is not their first time hanging out. They've actually vacationed together as a couple on yachts plenty of times before, so I guess it won't be an awkward situation for them after all.
So, yeah, if you're in October shoes, I mean, granted, you look like her, so you don't have anything to be, like, you know, jealous about. The idea of going with my husband to his ex's wedding, I think for normies, that would typically not fly. But for this level of celebrity and wealth, Man, it's Venice.
My question for Bert, who might find himself in this position, would you ever go to Stacy's wedding?
If I was invited, for sure. I would do it enthusiastically.
I know, because I feel like once you have a good relationship and you've moved past it, then it's just like, why would I not go and support you?
And I'm the one that set him up.
Yeah.
That's like a home run right there.
You should officiate it.
Also, aesthetically, though, you got to keep in mind, she's still October. Is still upgraded over Jeff Bezos.
Yes.
I mean, Tony Gonzalez is a great looking dude.
Yes. Also, he can't officiate it, Abby, but I do see you doing a reading. The whole, like, love is patient, love is kind.
That's a little much. I just like to be there and drink.
This won't be it. That's it. All right, so all the way.
Love is everything I wasn't.
Damn, you should just wear the shirt at that point. All the way from Venice, Italy to New York City, the New York Mets have an addition as a relief pitcher on a team. And he is already making headlines. And it's not for a pitch or anything he's done on the field. It is simply for his name.
This might be the best name in baseball. Dickie Lovelady.
Enter Dickie Lovelady, the new Mets sensation.
It's a man, baby!
Hold on to your hats, Mets fans. Meet Dickie Lovelady, a 29-year-old pitcher.
The name of the new player, Dickie Lovelady.
The greatest name in sports. Dickie Lovelady is a Met.
It's a man, baby. It's a man, baby. It's a man, baby.
My man name is Dickie Lovelady.
Those jerseys are going to fly off the shelf.
And he knows it, too, because the government knows him as Richard, but he told the team and everybody, call me Dickie.
Hey, The Bert Show.